So Matthew chapter 17, verse 20, I'll be reading out of the New Living Translation here this morning. It says, "You do not have enough faith, even as small as a mustard seed. You could say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it would move. Nothing would be impossible." Let's pray. Father, speak to us today. Lord, not necessarily through my words, but Lord, by your Holy Spirit. Lord, I pray you speak into our hearts today, Lord, as we dig into your word. And I pray you reveal to us you. You reveal to us us. And we reveal, most importantly, Lord, what it is you have to speak to us, Lord, because today we need you more than ever. And we desire to hear from you. Bless this time, Father, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. So, today, we are going to get confused together. How's that sound? Sound like fun? Have you ever been confused? Some of us live in that natural state of being all the time, right? Now, this isn't the parable. This was a little softball that we just read. This one's the easy one, faith of a mustard seed. But the parable we're about to read, I went into it this week going, oh, I know this one. Oh, this one's a piece of cake. And I started studying, and then my head started spinning. Have you ever had that happen? Especially in trying to read this thing. Have you ever gotten confused with this? Like, wait, what does that mean? So I'm breaking probably a cardinal rule of preaching. I'm going to confuse the people. But Lord willing, we'll come out on the other side with some greater understanding. But I want to walk you through that it is possible sometimes where, Lord, I need your guidance. Lord, I can't see this. Lord, make it clear to me. And I believe he will when we seek him. So we're going to get, I'm going to allow you to join me in my confusion here today. But first, like I said, the softball, the easy one, what we just read. You don't have enough faith. Faith of a mustard seed. Now, there it is. We have our kids in here today, and I did my coloring. I think I put that on the slides. So, kids, you are welcome to grab these. If you did already, you already got yours. You got them. Okay. All right. Good to go. We have those in the entryway, and they're coloring pages for kids and adults alike, if you'd like. And you do your coloring, and the coloring is based upon the message that we have. And on the back of each of these is one simple question. And so it's for the kids to be able to answer so they can kind of tune in half of one ear to the message and be able to participate. But it's just a simple question. And when you're done, at the end of service, come up to me or my wife Emily and let me see your drawing. And they're doing phenomenal with those, way better than I've been doing. And then I want to hear the answer to the question. And when they answer that question, we give them a special little prize or treat sort of thing. So today we, we want to participate all together, but we also have our kids in here. So we're going to talk about faith of a mustard seed. Mustard seed is pretty small. It's not the biggest. According to my Wikipedia research, anybody ever try to learn from Wikipedia? It's dangerous, isn't it? The largest seed out there is the coco de mer. Any of our kids out here know what the coco de mer is? Oh, you've got it on the tip of your tongue. What would that be called? It's a different name. Cocoa bean. That would be close. Coconut. Coconut is like the largest seed. A coconut itself, the fruit, could be up to 93 pounds. It's probably more than you two guys put together. 93 pounds. That is a big fruit. And the seed within it can be up to 40 pounds. That's a pretty big seed to make one tree, right? But the mustard seed is a little bit different. I hold with mustard seeds. I could take them out and give you one each, but then we'd have crushed mustard all over the ground here. But in here is just a packet of hundreds of mustard seeds. They are pretty small compared to a coconut. And God says, all you need is a little small seed. You see, something very small can do something very big. And I think we all know the story of David and Goliath. A small, young, the youngest in the family, just a shepherd boy with a sling, not a rocket launcher, not a tank, not any superpowers. He had a sling and a stone. And he toppled the mightiest warrior, a giant, a man of war. Something small can do something very, very big. To do great things, though, the Bible tells us, you must have faith. Faith of a mustard seed. Faith of just enough faith. What is this small thing? A lot of times our mind goes to Hebrews 11:1. Out of the King James Version, it says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. I think we know that verse. I have to admit, though, from time to time, I'm like, all right, there's a definition. What in the world does that mean? It's the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Faith is this thing that you can't quite quantify. And it's the base of being able to see something that's not there. It's a challenging thought. And so I read that, and sometimes my head spins. Here's a different version out of the Message. It says, the fundamental fact of existence is that this trust in God, this faith, is a firm foundation under everything that makes life worth living. It's our handle on what we can't see. A few that line, it says, this trust in God, this faith, is the foundation of just a few things in our life. Just a couple. A few insignificant things, right? No, this faith is the foundation of everything that makes life worth living. I probably need a little bit of that. I think you need a little bit of that, this faith, this trust. And last week in our message and our question to the kids, the question on the back of their drawing was, is it hard to trust in God? And I think we adults can answer that. And as I said last week, if we're honest with ourselves, I think we'd probably go, sometimes it is hard to trust in God. Sometimes it's hard to put our faith in Him and believe that He's going to make the right decision for us. It's kind of hard to trust in God and say, okay, you're in control. It's kind of hard to trust in God when He says, I want you to go over here, when everything over here looks... And yet that's the core thing that we need. That's the foundation of what we need for everything that's worth living. The last week, as I asked the question in both services, every single kid came, the child that came up with their drawing, and we flipped it over, and it asked the question to each of these kids, is it hard to trust in the Lord? Every single one of them said, nope. What is the difference? Why do they simply just say, nope? And we go, well... depends. Trouble is, I think we've messed up our faith a little bit. Trouble is, we've had experiences. Trouble is, we've been hurt. And it's been hard to trust in God. Trouble is, maybe we haven't seen evidence of God, physical. And yet faith is the evidence of something you can't see. Have is the thing we need to build upon. And when we build upon this, have a little bit of faith as a mustard seed, and we allow it to grow, it grows into something mighty. So mighty that you could say to the mountain, go over there. Be cast into the sea. Move from here to there. You could say to any obstacle in your way, if you have faith, to be able to say, no. Get out of my way, immovable rock. With just a little bit of faith. We must have faith. Faith of a child. A trust of a child. But sometimes our brain gets in the way. And we get confused. So let's get confused today. This will be fun. So let's go to our primary parable today, Matthew chapter 13, verses 31 through 32 out of the New Living Translation Jesus used. The kingdom of heaven, and I told you last week, keep an eye on that. Many of the parables will say this is just a glimpse of what heaven is like. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed planted in a field. It is the smallest of all seeds, but it becomes the largest of garden plants. It grows into a tree, and the birds come and make nests in its branches. Now you might go, Pastor Jason, why are you confused with that? That one's pretty simple. A small seed becomes a big tree, and the birds come and nest into it. And what does that mean? A little thing like faith grows big and offers safety to others, protection. Wow, piece of cake. Let's pray, we're done. But then I had a thought. I thought, is that what it really means? You ever done that? Read a scripture, been told something, and you just go, is that what really is going on? Is that what it really means? Let me give you an example. Coronavirus. Is that what's really going on? Have you questioned anything over the last few months? You've been given facts and statistics and recommendations and rules and all these different things. And anytime you see something new, have you ever gone, I wonder if that's really what's going on? Or am I the only one that has done that? No? Okay, all right, good. I'm not completely alone. You see, we as adults, I believe, have a tendency to question everything. Maybe sometimes kids do that too. But what's the three-letter word that kids usually ask? Why? Why? And many times, because, and that's the greatest answer. But I think we as adults, a lot of times it's what if? What if this isn't true? What if this is off? What if I'm being duped into something? Okay, is this real? Is this fake? I think there's room for that, but I don't believe there is any room in faith. Because faith is just, again, this evidence of something I can't see. God just wants us to take one little itty-bitty piece of faith and plant it. So this week, it was actually a Monday, which I was thinking, all right, this is going to be a simple message. We're going to cruise through this. I started researching mustard and this story. Now, the first thing it says is it's the smallest of all seeds. No, it's not. Jesus said it's a small cell seeds. No, it's not. There are many, 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 many more small seeds. I mean, Jesus is the Son of God, right? He passed physics and psychology and calculus and all those major classes. I mean, he's got to be an expert in agriculture, right? Stuff. And yet he says this is small cell seeds. All right. Jesus, I'll give you a pass on this one. Okay, that's all right. Now, to be fair, he did say a farmer planted it. And talking to those farmers in that day and age would plant mustard seed, and probably mustard seed was the smallest seed that they would plant. There's other seeds out there, but they're not necessarily crops. So, all right, Jesus, I'll be nice to you today. I'm in a good mood. We'll give you a pass on that one. But then I started looking at what is a mustard seed. And as I looked in some historical context of the Middle East at that time, as I looked at farmers in Europe and in America, most places I went to refers to mustard as a weed. Wait a second, God. You mean we should plant weeds? Is that the encouragement? This mustard on a weed front, mustard that it lays dormant in the soil, and in the spring when you till up the soil, it activates it, where you think, wow, I planted good stuff, and all of a sudden, boom, there's mustard, and it's not what you wanted. You wanted corn or whatever it is. So, Jesus, why are you referring to something that many people think it might be a weed? But I trust you. I'll give you a pass on that one. And then it says it grows into the greatest herb or plant, and it becomes a tree. And everywhere I look, mostly it refers to mustard as a bush, not quite a tree. Man, three strikes, Jesus. I'm not sure what your farming background is. I know you're a carpenter, so I'm starting to struggle here. You ever struggled as you've read through the scripture? Ever struggled as you've gone through something? But you still want to have faith. But then I had the one that takes the cake. It says it grows into the tree and the birds come into birds. Now there are references in the Bible where birds nesting in trees is a good thing. We won't go there, but Daniel 4:12 and Ezekiel 31:6 refers to like nations, strong nations that allows for protection of birds to come and nest within their wings. So it can be a good thing, but it also can be a bad thing. Revelations 8:2 talks about, refers to the fowls that come and grow and flourish as evil spirits. Okay, God, I'm getting confused. And then what just got me stuck is we read this parable in Matthew chapter 13, and if you roll back to the beginning of Matthew chapter 13, the same chapter, same context of speaking, Jesus gives a parable of the parable of the sower, the parable of the four soils. And what happens to the seed that is thrown on the road? The birds of the air come and snatch up the seed. And the bird refers to the enemy, the devil. God, I'm confused. And as I sat there in my office, and I researched on Monday, and I chewed on Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, and Friday, and I got there on Friday, and I was hoping for this breakthrough. Like, God, you didn't make it clear to me yet. I remember sitting there going, God, I'm confused. And I got this sense as I closed my eyes and prayed that God was up there smiling. And then I remembered, I had a thought. God is good all the time. And all the time, God is good. All the time. Well, God, I don't feel good right now. I got to share this. God, help me. And I think that's exactly where he wants us to experience. And it's like, this isn't making sense. This isn't working out. God, help me. And he's just waiting. Those are, it's like the bat signal on the wall sort of thing. You're in the sky. God, help me. He's looking for that bat signal. He wants to come. I didn't put that in my notes. Sorry. Bad reference. He wants to come to our rescue. But it simply is this time to make a phone call and say, God, I need help. God, what does this parable mean? Because I went into it thinking one thing, and now I've got all this confusion of what's really true. God, what is this small thing that I need to plant? God, what is it? I think it's faith, but I got to have faith to believe that this is good, this is true, this is you speaking. God, what is this small thing? And he brought me to Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 13, the New King James Version. It says, and you will seek heart. You see, older people, non-kids here, those easily confused, you see, many times we seek after God with our mind. But I'm pretty sure that's not how kids seek after God. They seek after God with their imagination, with their heart. And yet we seek after him and try to put him in a box that fits our experiences, fits our understanding, fits our knowledge. But we need to seek after God with our whole heart, not your brain. The key is this thing in here. God, my brain is telling me one thing as I read through this. But my after, again, I think I'd come to a conclusion
But I was still kind of struggling. My dad called and he says, "How you doing, son?" I said, "Oh, not too bad." He says, "So what are you preaching on this week?" My dad will ask me that from time to time. And I shared with him. I said, "Dad, I'm struggling." And I laid it out. And he said, "So what's your heart telling you?" Duh. That's a good word, Dad. Why didn't I think of that earlier this week? And I went through all this turmoil. Went through all this. What's your heart telling you, son? And I think God can tell us that many times when we're in these difficult spots. What's your heart telling you, son? What's your heart telling me, daughter? Seek me with all your heart. Trust in me when you don't believe. Have faith in me when you cannot see. That's what God is asking. As we look at his scripture, as we look at this little thing that we need to plant, how in the world does this tiny little speck of a seed and grow into something so large? I have no idea. So I have faith in scientists that try to explain it to me. Still doesn't make sense. So can I have the same faith in God? That he'll take that little seed in my heart. That God, you are good. You're always good. And trust in God that he will take that and grow it into something great. That yes, I believe will offer protection and safety and shade for those around me. Maybe as a father, I need to be sowing faith into my heart. Into my life, so that my kids can grow up underneath that. So that way, when I'm much older, I can call my son, as my dad has called me. Say, "Son, how's it going today? What's God speaking to you today?" But I have to plant. Question for them, but it's a question for you adults and adults, parents, you guys, you get a little extra glimpse in this because you get to see it before anyone else. But the question is, how much faith does God need from you? I have known what I would call some mighty men and women of faith in my life that will boldly go to any mountain and say, "Get out of the way." Well, I'm like trying to calculate, you know, the weight and all that stuff. How big this thing is and what it would take to move it. And I go, "Wow, this person is of great faith." And I start comparing, because that's what we adults do. "Wow, I don't have that much." But take all that, take those experiences, take those thoughts, take that education, take that thinking. Cast it aside for just a moment and say, "God, how much faith do you need?" And he tells us this beautiful story of the faith of a mustard seed, planting the smallest of all seeds. Excuse me. Adults, this series may be simple. As we're going through these parables, again, we've got our kids in here for a while, and so you might be thinking, "Wow, these messages are pretty basic." But honestly, that's the point. What have you learned over the last few months? Man, we're going on 5 months or so now. Where the world has changed. I really think many of us are kind of going back to the basics. We cancel our sports and our activities for our kids. Many families are sitting around the table more than ever and learning to love their family like their family again. We're less entertained and we've got more time to ourselves. We're almost being forced to go back to the basics, back to a simple life. And I think that's what God's point is. He wants us to kind of go back to the basics. And here we are reading those Sunday school stories, going, okay, I'm ready for Revelation, Pastor Jason. Let's get to that book, okay? Let's go through some, let's get something heavy. I want to see. And I just think God's saying, wait a second. We need to go back to the simple stuff. And we need to plant something in our lives, the foundation to everything that's worthwhile. We need to plant faith in our life, because nothing that's going on out there. Is this the end? I don't quite think so. Is it closer to the end? Absolutely. Is this a glimpse of what's to come? Most certainly. And I need a firm foundation to be ready for that. I need to grow in that. So press in. Press in. There's a man in the church who came to me a couple weeks ago, pressing into God. And he goes, Pastor Jason, I'm not certain if my sprinkling as a baby was enough. Can you tell me about baptism? Passionate, on fire, pressing into God, allowing something to grow. And in a couple hours, I'm going to be able to baptize him in our lake, in our backyard today. And that's going to grow. Something is going to happen in that man and that family and that marriage, because he's pressing in. He wants more. Oh, you go to the garden surplus store. God, I don't know what to plant. Plant faith. Plant your trust in God. It is the foundation of everything that's worthwhile in your life. Let's pray. Father, I want to trust in you, but help me in my lack of trust. Lord, I want to follow your Holy Spirit speaking to my heart. But Lord, my ears and my nose and my eyes and my senses, they all see and experience other things. Father, I want to trust in you. Lord, I want to have faith in you. But I don't think I have much. Father, I'm going to choose this day that I'm going to serve you. And I'm going to plant however minute amount grow it. Father, I don't want to be anything mighty. But Lord, if I'm to bring shade and protection to others as they grow, Lord, use me. And Lord, I pray that for everyone here, that maybe we don't all turn into the mighty oaks, the great sequoias. Lord, that we just turn into whatever it is you've designed us to be. And Lord, if I'm just going to be a bush, a mustard bush, Lord, I'm going to be the best mustard bush I can be in the name of Jesus, because I trust in you. Father, change my heart today to truly believe that you are so good all the time, and all the time you are good. Lord, I know and believe you have good things in store for me, my family, and this family here of Grace Community Church. Trust, and we plant the seed of faith in you today. And Lord, I look forward to the mighty things that you will have us do. Lord, I pray our foundations are strong as the season of change is coming. Lord, the storms are brewing. Lord, we will be rooted deep within you. Father, I thank you for putting up with me and my confusion. I thank you, Lord, for smiling down on me and walking me through it. Thank you for being a good father this Father's Day. Give you praise for this in Jesus' name. Amen.